This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin and you're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. In the city, fishing is not really a common activity. Aside from fishing ponds, there are no other convenient options. But that does not stop the fishing community or anglers from growing in this concrete jungle. This week, we're going to speak to a husband and wife team from the Milkfish Lady, a sport fishing outfit that trains beginners and youths how to fish, on top of educating the public about proper ways to fish.
My name is Shamin. I'm also called the Milkfish Lady in the angling industry. And I'm from Singapore.
And I'm Naushad, husband of the Milkfish Lady, just here supporting my wife.
For Shamin Chaima, she got hooked on fishing during her first date with her then boyfriend, now husband, Naushad Sharif.
Well, it started with a date. My then boyfriend, Naushad, said he loves fishing. And he said, why not give it a try? So I said, okay, this was back in Singapore. We went to a little jetty known as Bedok Jetty, bought some cheap hand lines. Basically, it's the basic form of fishing. And he took me out to the jetty. We put some fish on the hook and then we threw it out. Basically, what I did was I threw the entire line out into the water, but managed to catch a little bit back in. And what I didn't realize was when I was trying to gain back all this line that I lost, there was a fish at the end of it. And when I caught onto that fish, the excitement and adrenaline that I felt upon catching that, I think, instantly got me hooked. So he got lucky. That date went very well. That's how I got started with fishing.
Okay, how about you, Naushad?
Well, back in the day, our family business was running a small hotel and we had one long-term customer. His name was Terry. So Terry used to go out every day and bring back a fish and would cook it in our kitchen. And one day I asked Terry, hey, two questions for you. How do you stay so long in a hotel? And how do you come back every day with a fish? So he said, look, it's all about saving cost every day. So I would only spend what I needed to for the hotel. For food, I would go catch fish, bring it back, cook and eat. And if you're interested, I'll take you with me. And so he showed me how he would catch fish in the Malacca Jetty at the time. And yeah, that's how it all started for me. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so Shamin, you're also known as the Milkfish Lady. Mm-hmm. So how did that come about?
Okay, so it started out when I was still new in the sport of fishing. And we were going out to actually catch dinner for ourselves in Pulau Indah. And the fish that we were targeting is actually barramundi, or locally known as siakap. And basically, we fished them with live prawns. So I put a prawn bait on, I casted it out. And during this time, when I'm waiting for the barramundi, prior to this trip, I've actually got the milkfish as one of the species that I've wanted to catch on my list. So on this trip, I had a powerful take and on my line. And the barramundi is a powerful fish. So I instantly thought, okay, I caught a big fish for dinner. We can feed the whole family right now. But what happened was halfway along my fish battle with what I thought was a barramundi, I saw fins popping up that were very different. So I stopped for a moment and I'm like, number one, the fins were not very big. Number two, the fish was very powerful. So the next thing I thought was, it's a shark. But what happened was when I reeled it in and it came up, I looked at it and I knew it was a milkfish, but milkfish is not a native fish around our waters. So I said, this can't be a milkfish. But then one local fisherman in a bike, he came by and he said, hey, ikan susu, he said, which is milkfish in Malay. And I was like, I thought so too. So I started jumping for joy. This whole thing was captured on camera. My husband, Naushad, was actually taking it on video. And he said, you know what? Put it up on YouTube. It's so funny. Put it up on YouTube. I put it up on YouTube. And we went shopping the next day at a tackle shop. And the owner of the tackle shop, who's a known fly fisherman in Malaysia, he came up to me and he said, hey, you're the Milkfish Lady. And I'm like, I'm sorry? So he's like, you are the Milkfish Lady. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And that's how it started. That's how it stuck with me.
Yeah, okay. So what got you hooked on fishing in Malaysia specifically?
There's so much fishing to do in and around Malaysia. You don't have your seas, you've got your rivers. So there's an endless species of fish that we can always target in Malaysia. So no matter how much I've gone out fishing in the last 4 years, there's still so many areas I've yet to explore. And that's always exciting. There's something new to look forward to all the time.
Okay, what's the difference between fishing at sea and by the river?
Okay, so when you go out onto the river, you firstly target freshwater fish species. So the way you catch them is already very different than sea fishing. And you have to go through basically the jungle terrain before you get to the river body of water, you know, and then there's a high chance you have to bring your own meals and things like that. And you have to camp out a couple of days in the jungle normally or stay around the area for a couple of days. But for when you go for deep sea fishing, it's normally for us, it's always been a 1 day trip. The waters around Malaysia are filled with such amazing fish species that you go out in a day and you can catch a good amount of fish and come back. So the experience in itself is very different.
So where's the usual exciting fishing location for the couple here in Malaysia?
We do most of our land-based fishing in local fish farms and fish ponds, which is around the Klang area. But of course, there's many other locations around Kuala Lumpur. You have some in Hululangat, you have some in Rawang. So there's actually a lot around KL itself. But most of the times when we're going out to sea, you either go to the closest one to KL would be Port Dickson, or from July to November, a lot of people travel to Kuala Rumpin, which is in Pahang, for sailfish fishing, actually.
Okay. So what are some of the more famous species that anglers here in Malaysia would want to, you know, catch usually?
Well, for freshwater, you have got a species called sabarao, snakeheads. These are popular freshwater species that a lot of people go after. And then when you go out to sea, you have anything from Spanish mackerels to sailfish to the mahi-mahi, GTs, or they're short for a species called giant trevally, which is very abundant around Malaysian waters as well.
I'll just add to that. But I think in the fishing within Kuala Lumpur, if you go out to local pay pond, you can divide them into two, one freshwater, another one saltwater. So the saltwater pay ponds would normally offer barramundis, grouper, the redfish or red drum. Over here in Malaysia, they call it Senangin Taiwan. These are the species that you would easily get through local pay ponds. And then if you go to the freshwater ponds, you would get species like the pakus. You would get things like the iridescent shark. This, in Malay, it's called patin. Yeah, these two are
a variety of catfishes. And and you should know that the paku is actually a relative of the piranha. So it's got humanoid teeth. That's why it makes it very exciting to catch them. When you look under their lips, it's all teeth that looks just like ours.
As a fishing organization that advocates sustainable fishing, the Milkfish Lady provides various programs for beginners and youths to ensure that they learn proper fishing techniques.
So for the beginner programs, basically we start them off with catching fish the most basic way. We incorporate something that we all started out with, which is hand line fishing, and that's about understanding the line and sensitivity and what you're looking at. And then we work them onto the intermediate session where the gears and the fish species get bigger and it gets more complex. And then, of course, we work them to an advanced level where, again, fish species get bigger, gears get bigger, methods differ. And after which, once they've completed it, they can go out to sea with us and they can start targeting very much bigger, more difficult species out at sea.
So the Milkfish Lady also focuses on educating kids when it comes to fishing, right? So why focus basically on kids?
Basically, when I started out fishing, my prior experience was working with children development. So when I came to Malaysia and I started fishing, we went to these locations which were actually family friendly, but a lot of people just never took their families with them. So we started taking our family, we started taking our friends' kids, you know, brought them over. And fishing and basically nature in general has a lot of great effects on kids, especially these days on their gadgets. So when we start doing that, we realize that it helped with the development of these children, hand-eye coordination, behavior. And because it had so much good in it, that's where I decided, you know what, let me just focus on this and see where it takes us.
But fishing also is a very technical activity, right? So do you think that it's difficult to teach kids?
How we do it is in the beginning, we focus less on the technical part of it. we get them onto a fish first because they need to feel what it's like to catch a fish. They need to go through that euphoria, adrenaline, excitement. And once they understand that, they want to do it on their own. They don't want anybody to help them. So when we help them in the first part, they catch a fish, then they're like, hey, I want to do it on my own. And that's when they pay attention and they start listening. And when they start listening, going through the technical parts of it becomes extremely easy. They do their own fishing knots, assemble their own gears, catch their own fish. Yeah, and we invite families to come along. So everyone comes to this location in Klang and we all fish together.
While fishing is potentially exciting for people who are new to it, they must also be prepared to manage their expectations and have the right attitude.
I think, firstly, they got to come in with a very good attitude. I think the moment they sign us up, they already are keen to try it out. So what they need to expect, normally what people expect when they sign up for fishing is, the first thing I hear is, we need to be patient, don't we? And I'll be like, yes, but not entirely all the time. So what they will come and learn from us is the skills of understanding weather, how to read water, how can we spot different fish species in different areas. So we train them all these things, and basically when they get it right, which is after a few training courses, they can catch a fish within 5 minutes because it's all about skill and about understanding the species in water.
So do you have to learn the theories first before you start, or you can immediately be hands-on?
Yes. Basically, when we do our training sessions, we'll have a classroom session where we talk about safety of the angler and the fish. We'll tell them what to expect in terms of when you catch different species, where can you handle them, where you can't handle them. But most importantly, it's about casting your fishing rod. There's a way of doing it, and there's a way of doing it right. So if you don't get that right, and that's the basics of fishing, then there's a high chance you're not going to catch fish. Your line is going to get tangled, you're going to get knots, and a lot of time will be spent fixing your gear instead of catching fish. So we do cover that part first before we take people out fishing.
Is the learning curve quite steep?
Actually, because we deal with a lot of children and a lot of newbies, so to speak, we need to bring them up to speed in the least amount of time. So in our classroom sessions, in the youth program, we try and minimize the whole theory part of fishing because the kids would immediately then start getting, you know, jumpy. They want to go out and start casting the casting plugs, catching onto something, and that whole physical activity aspect of it. So if the training were exciting and if the training were effectively done within a small amount of time, I would say that anyone coming on to the tour or the program with us would be able to fish within, let's say, 20 minutes.
What's the most challenging hurdle to overcome or most difficult skill to master for a beginner in fishing?
I would say it's casting the rod, first and foremost. I think a lot of times when you look at a professional angler do it, it's like a really beautiful dance, and it just casts out, the line goes out really far. And a lot of times when you're first starting it, it's a whole process and you will sort of mess up once in a while and it affects the fishing. So that would be one thing that is the most difficult at a basic level. But as you start building it up, it would be to understand the fish and how to catch them. Mm-hmm. I think it reaches a level where a lot of times people think, oh, it's so easy to catch a fish. Fishes are stupid. That's what a lot of people would think. But no, they're very smart and you need to outsmart them. And if they see your lure in the water many times, they'll know you're there and they'll run away and you have to chase after them. So yeah. That's what we're looking at.
We've heard the term sport fishing being used a couple of times now. What's the difference between that and recreational fishing?
Fishing as a sport, you normally do it to feel that adrenaline. And very rarely in sports fishing do people actually take the fish back home. Normally they do it because they're competing with each other. And around the world, there are so many fishing competitions from rivers to seas around the world. Even in Malaysia, you've got the Royal Pahang Billfish International Competition that happens yearly. So sports fishing is more concentrated on that, on competition, conservation, ethical methods. And recreational fishing is something that people do to basically normally catch fish for dinner. Basically, you put a line in, you relax, read a book, you know, catch a fish, take home. So it's more relaxed. But in sports fishing, everything matters. You know, you think about the whole process that you're doing. You have to be quick. There's a time frame involved, you know, that sort of thing.
And it's not just limited to how big your catch is, right?
No, it's not. It's about sometimes smallest fish counts. sometimes the more species count. So it's very different depending on the competition. Yeah.
Sometimes we even have a target species in mind, and we would study the weather, the water conditions, the tides, the best time to fish it, what sort of lures to bring, what sort of line, rod rating. We plan everything so well, and then we go and sort of hunt. So it's a strategy to sort of outsmart the fish. And even sometimes, when everything else is right, they still don't take. And that's the beauty of it. But I think fishing is beyond just catching the fish. It's that whole journey and understanding nature and respecting it even more. It's beautiful.
You just heard from Naushad Sharif and Shamin Shaima, a husband and wife team from the Milkfish Lady, a fishing outfit that trains participants the proper way to fish. We're going to take a short break. Coming up, more stories about fishing from the dynamic duo. I'm Hanif Baharudin, and this is I Love KL on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm Hanif Baharudin. This week, we're joined by Shamin Shaima and Naushad Sharif, the husband and wife team from the Milkfish Lady, a fishing organization that teaches the proper way to fish as well as advocates for sustainable fishing. Now, one of the potential stumbling blocks for newcomers who want to get into the hobby is choosing the gears, the rods, lines and hooks, among others. How should one approach it? Naushad recalls their experience.
Well, we were a little bit unfortunate in the earlier days because there weren't a lot of people out there who could help us. So we started off experimenting on our own, and you'd be surprised to know that how all this happened for us was actually through a visit to a tackle store. We were there and we saw a young boy and his dad approaching people to find out what should they get, what would be the best beginner rod and setup. And they weren't from Malaysia, and I nudged Shamin and said, hey, you know what, you need to go and help them. And so she did. She walked up to them and she said, look, this is what you'll need. And this is also the set that would take you through a lot of types of fishing in Malaysia. So you need one type that could get you almost 80% of the fishing that's available here. And 2 weeks later, she got in touch with him, and he was your first tour, isn't it? So that's how it started.
But it takes a lot of research to understanding the types of gears that you need. And when you get it wrong, you'll tend to spend a lot of money on it. But when you take your time to research, because every gear is very much specific to the type of fishing that you're doing. So you only need the kind of gear that, you know, if you're going deep sea fishing, there's only one type of gears that you need to bring, and that's it. So you don't have to spend so much money on anything more than that. So once you get it right the first time and you understand the flow of how it should be, you wouldn't be spending so much money on it.
How should you approach it then? Do you need to maybe think of what kind of fishing you want to do first before you start buying your gears? Or can you like buy a general rod, a general line that can fit at least, you know, the different types of fishing you want to do?
Okay, so this is a question we get a lot actually. When people start buying gears, they're like, can I just buy one and do everything? We're like, no. Because you have light-rated rods, medium-rated rods, and heavy-rated rods, whereby it's for small fish, medium-sized fish, large fish. So you need to vary it. And there is a reason for that. Now, if you bring a very light rod and expect to catch a very big fish, number one, technically, it's just not possible. Because a small rod for a big fish, chances are you're not going to succeed very well. But there are skills that's involved that can allow you to do this. But in doing it and in succeeding to land a fish that's big with a small line, you're actually hurting the fish because they stress themselves out very much, and putting them back would be a big issue. When you have a big rod and you're trying to fish for smaller fish, you bring them up so fast, there's a high chance you're hurting them as well. So
The bladder,
the swim bladder would actually, you know, pop up. Yeah. So it is very important to have at least a small, medium and heavyweight rod.
Getting the right gear is one thing, applying proper technique is another. The Milkfish Lady has its own ways of doing things, but they do acknowledge that there are various other techniques to fish.
We all have our ways of fishing, different methods of fishing, and they're all successful. There's no right or wrong in terms of a method to fish, but there is a preferred way of fishing. And for us specifically in our team, we try and do it according to international standards of fishing, whereby we handle fish a certain way. We battle, that means we fight the fish a certain way. So we do follow a set of regulations that's set forth internationally. Mm. But yeah, there's really many ways to do it. In fact, some people come in with a stick and a line and they still catch a fish, you know? So there's really a lot of ways to do it.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't need to be that complicated. But I mean, if you want to approach it differently, you can be that enthusiast that have like different lines, different rods and whatnot, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned international regulations just now, right? Yeah. So maybe can you elaborate a bit more on how that approach is?
Okay, so basically there is an international governing body for fishing called the International Game Fish Association. And through them, if they've set out a set of rules whereby if you would like to get yourself into the record books, you have to follow their regulations, which is using a certain type of rod, reels, a certain weight of line, and you have to battle the fish on your own, bring it up on your own, measure it. There's a certain measurement guideline to it as well. So when you follow all these guidelines and you reach a stage where you actually beat the record, whether by size, weight, you know,
species of fish.
So you get yourself into the book of records, basically. Yeah.
Well, in short, it's called IGFA. But what I think they're trying to also promote, instead of just world records or grand slams, is fish conservation, how to properly release the fish. And if you need to fish certain waters and use certain type of lures, what would be the most ethical way of doing things? So we try and abide by those rules because it then reaches out to more people and the sport of fishing then becomes more responsible, and we don't, you know, subject ourselves to running out of fish for the future generations as well. So that's really what we try to do.
Mm. I like that point, the ethical fishing, right? Because some people say that fishing might not be considered ethical because you might harm the fish.
Yep.
So is there any truth to it?
Okay, pain is very subjective. I think there's a lot of research that has gone into this, whether or not fish actually feel pain. But from where we come from, we have an understanding through research as well that we as sports fishing anglers set the hook on the fish's lips. And the lips are the areas where there's not much pain gland, so they don't actually feel a lot of pain. It's a lot of skin around that area. So when you remove a hook from the fish's lips, it doesn't hurt them. And how do we know this? It's because when we do it, they don't struggle. Now, here's the other thing. We use hooks that are debarbed, meaning it's just a straight up sharp hook with no other barbs in between. So it's easy to just remove the hooks. However, we do realize that when you hook a fish on its belly, on its back or its body, you know, it does hurt the fish. And there's proper ways of handling a fish. All fish species have this thing called a lateral line, which is a sense, kind of like for us, if some, like our eyesight, you know, if someone's poking your eye, it would hurt. It's sensitive. So similarly, when you're handling a fish, you don't touch the lateral lines, you know, so that they don't get uncomfortable when they're out of water. And you only have them out of water for a certain period of time. It has to be a quick process of just removing the hook. If you want a photograph, you take a photograph and you put them back in immediately because water is where they need to be. Mm. So as you respect that and you go through that process, then it should be okay.
Hmm. Yeah. So when it comes to the Milkfish Lady's approach, it's usually catch and release, right? Is that the standard?
We promote catch and release because from what we're doing is we're trying to show people that you can go out, catch fish. You can take it home, yes, but you don't want to deplete the entire species of fish, the entire community of fish. So basically what you want to do is you take home what you need, and if you accidentally catch a little bit more, you can actually release them back safely. So you catch only what you need. That's what we're trying to put forth here.
As mentioned previously, fishing requires a lot of patience. If it's not your lucky day, that means waiting for a long time. But according to some, the waiting time is actually as fun and even more exciting than the rush you feel catching a fish, especially if you're fishing with friends. Is that true?
I think very much so, and I think that a lot of people join us because of that. It's not only the fishing that we offer. I think the journey out to the location where we fish is already very nice. We take them through, you know, local Malaysian villages, show them our rumah kampung, and then have some food. I mean, we are big eaters. We love our food. And even while we're fishing, we're feeding people local fruits, and all makes for a very exciting day out. And if you're on the boat, even, you know, taking a boat out already is a very nice experience. So
I think before fishing, we have all this, you know, expectations of it, what we're going to do, and everyone gets really excited. And then during fishing, you're very focused and your adrenaline's pumping, excitement's pumping. And then when you catch a fish, it's like this euphoria that takes over you where you see something so beautiful in your hands. And then when you release it, you know, a lot of times when we go out, especially to sea, when we go out fishing and we catch something so magical, I notice that when we come back, all of us look like we've lost our minds because we're sitting at the back of the boat smiling to ourselves because it's such an amazing experience to see nature in your hands that way. So I think this whole thing just makes up the sports of fishing, you know, the adrenaline, the excitement, that whole feeling, you know.
Can fishing be a solitary activity? Can I go fishing alone?
Yes, you can. In fact, it's one of the best ways for me personally to just relax, unwind, fish. It's just you and nature, nothing else in between. It's a fantastic way to relax, I feel, actually.
Since Shamin and Aushad are fishers and have been doing this for quite some time, do they also enjoy eating their catch?
Frankly speaking, over the years, it's getting tougher for me to actually eat fish. I did not enjoy it prior anyway, but I know there are some fish species that are very tasty. So when we can take some home, for example, the Spanish mackerel, you go to any local place and they'll say, you know, curry ikan tenggiri, you know, and then you're like, yes, exactly. That's really good. So yeah, we do it more for the sport, but if there's a good fish, yeah, we'll eat it. You know, if it's a good curry on the table, we'll have that. Yeah.
I think it's all about respecting the fish. When there are rules that you need to release, you release the fish.
Yeah.
And then when there's a fish that you know that this fish is available in abundance out in the ocean and you could actually bring some back, whatever you need, you take home. And then pay that due respect. Basically, you take it home, you clean the fish, you gut it, you spend some time with that fish, and then you start cooking that fish and trying out all the different recipes, because that's what we really need to do as well. Because it's not only about catching fish. It's about that whole journey. Like I said, you go out, you catch, you come back, you enjoy that meal with your friends, with your family. It's a beautiful thing.
Because ultimately, rod and line fishing does much less damage in the ocean compared to commercial fishing. So for us, it's always okay to take one or two back still. Yeah.
I see. So you don't develop that kind of, you know, bond with fish to a point where you don't want to eat them anymore?
I do. I think I'm slowly getting there. But yeah.
But we need to eat.
Yeah, we need to eat. And fish is good for you.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the plenty of species. So sometimes people say, like the other day, we caught the mahi-mahi. And a lot of people say that the mahi-mahi should be cooked only a certain way. And we tried the mahi-mahi in some Sri Lankan-style curry. And it was fantastic, I must say.
Yeah. Kind enough to have a friend to actually prepare it for us. That was really nice.
The Milkfish Lady has received a lot of positive feedback since starting their business a couple of years ago. One of the more interesting things I observe is they receive a lot of foreign visitors coming over to learn how to fish here. Shamin highlights the reason why they like fishing in KL.
Okay, so basically I think when it comes down to Malaysia, sports fishing is famous here to start off with. But a lot of times when people come here and they contact us, it's for something that we do called a giant grouper fishing. That's a species that if you go out to sea, it's a very difficult species to locate and find and catch in just one day. But there is a conservation pond in Klang that actually allows people to come in. So that's one attraction that there is around here. People come in for that. Majority of the time, it's for the sea trips or the river trips. But a lot of times we get people coming here because they like the fact that they can experience the city. They go shopping and then they get to go out in nature. It's so accessible between the city and nature. In KL, you go out fishing for half a day and then you're back in the city again. And I think they really like that because a lot of experiences for us traveling as well, when you go out fishing, you're normally in an area where you don't get a lot of Wi-Fi, you don't get a lot of connection. So I think that's a very attractive factor for a lot of people.
We With the convenience that we have these days, Shamin hopes that the future generation will be able to get back to a simpler way of having fun through fishing.
Well, for us personally, I think we hope to see more families and kids signing up for it. It's a fantastic activity for the children. A lot of times parents worry if kids can actually take up this activity because they're cranky, they don't know how to sit still. You know, parents will be like, my son can't sit still or my daughter can't sit still. But the beauty about fishing is that it's so exciting that a lot of times when we take kids out, they focus, they catch fish, they're not running around, they're very well behaved, and the moment they catch their first fish, everything flows very, very well. And I think parents need to take the kids out into nature more often, and this is one way they can do it.
Mm, and it's definitely a family-friendly activity,
right? It is very family-friendly, yeah.
That was Shamin Shaima and Aushad Sharif from the Milkfish Lady, a fishing outfit that trains beginners and youths the proper way to fish right here in our capital city. To find out more, you can visit its website, themilkfishlady.com, or their various social media platforms. And with that, we end this week's episode of I Love KL. If you'd like to check out the episode again, head over to bfm.my/ilovekl or download our latest app via Google Play or the App Store. Also, follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharuddin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.